is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Light of the world. When you get a chance, go read the whole chapter. You will find a story of a blind man who was blind since birth. The Bible said this man was begging for food, for money, by the roadside. Am I still in the book? You know the story. The disciples asked the question. This is a messed up situation, looking at him. They said, who was it that sinned? Was it his mama? Was it his papa? He was born like this. Somebody must have messed up. But Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 3, no, nobody messed up, but this is for the work of God to manifest. And then he told the disciples, he said, you all need to know one thing. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So that's how we got into that declaration by Jesus Christ that he is the light of the world. Have you ever walked in the woods at nighttime? Especially when the moon is not out and there is no stars in the sky. If you notice, what you're going to see is very little. It's very hard to see. And if you're not careful, you'll be running into all kinds of stuff. And if you're not careful, you may completely get lost. Why? Because you are walking in the dark. I submit to you this morning, there are too many people who are living in complete darkness. Make no mistake about it, this season, it's not about Jingle Bell, it's not about all the theatrics. Jesus was sent to this world as the light of the world. Without Jesus, you and I will be in complete darkness. Without Jesus, my brothers and my sisters, you and I, our lives will be completely empty. Without Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, you and I, we have no hope. This message is not just for sinners. Even those of us who are Christians, who profess to see the light, many times we are afraid to confront darkness. So we also, we need help. Christmas is important for us. Many of us saw the light, but we have turned off our lights. And for many of us, our light has become like that little light in your bedroom, a sleeping light or whatever you Americans call it, night light, whatever. Many of us, our light has become that dim. That light is not really for you to see anything. It's just for you to be able to go to sleep. And the problem with our generation is that many people who profess to be Christians are sound asleep. We need the light of God. John chapter 3 verse 19 put it this way. You see, that light, talking about Jesus Christ, that light has come. But the problem is that the men and women of this world love darkness rather than the light. So when the choir say we need to walk in the light, it's not just for the winos on the street. It's not just for the crackhead on the street. It's for everybody who profess to be children of God. I never will forget how important the light is. I found out in one of my trips to Africa. I was visiting for the first time with the children, and I noticed their reaction. There are some things that we have got used to because we grew up there, we, meaning my wife and I. But when we got there and the electricity went out, I noticed how miserable those young children were. Not only did the electricity went out, a bunch of other things went out with it. All of a sudden, the computers don't work no more. All of a sudden, the refrigerator don't get cold. When there is power failure, ladies and gentlemen, people get stuck. When there is a blackout in your life, in my life, you and I, we are stuck. We need the light of the Lord. When there is a power failure, there's no movement. There's no progress. You want to go forward, but you can't move because you're in darkness. That is why we need to take messages like this very seriously. And one of the things that amazed me about God, not only did he recognize and informed all of us that he is the light of the world. When he got ready to depart this world, he turned to you and I, and he said, now I want you to be the light of the world. I wonder what would be our grade on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest grade. I wonder how much are we going to score in terms of being the light of this world? Many of the mess that is going on in our community, believe it or not, it starts in the house of God. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 15, it says, you are the light of the world. See, we start out saying Jesus is the light. Now he turned around and said, you and my children, you are my disciples. You are now the light of the world. Then he warned in verse 15, nobody light a candle and put it under the table. He said, no, you can't be a closet Christian. You can't be only a Sunday morning Christian. He said, if you are a light, you put that light on the table for everybody to see. And then in verse 16, he said, this is what you and I need to do. Let your light so shine that they may see your good work. I believe you are not a Christian until the world can look at you and say, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. Wouldn't it be a sad story that your pastor cannot walk the neighborhood without somebody coming up with some story? The Bible says, let your light so shine. Now, that commandment is not just for the preacher. It's for every child of God. Why? Because the world is looking for somebody, somebody. They can say, that woman is a good example for all the girls in the neighborhood. That man is a good example for all the young men in the neighborhood. Please take note. Several times, God let us know how significant he is in our lives. He will refer to himself and say, in case you don't know God, I am this, I am this, I am that. One time, for example, he called himself, I am the good shepherd. Another time, he called himself, I am the bread of life. Another time he said, I am the resurrection and the life. One time he called himself, see, I am God in Bethel. See, all these things are not just fancy statements. They are serious description of who God is. One time he called himself, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. And the life. Say nobody can get to God except by him. Another time he called himself the great I am. And today we see in today's scripture how he called himself, I am the light of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I submit to you, Christmas is not about the chimney or whatever you're calling your house. Chimney. It's not about all this stuff that we're going to go get a card. Some of the cards now are so sophisticated, they sink to you. Even in my house, I watch all the drama. They set up a tree and they put on, and I can just see my Clico bill just going up. If the truth be told, today, that's another wedding couple. Hallelujah. All kinds of wedding going on in this house. I'm happy. Today is not even Jesus' birthday. Tomorrow is not even his birthday either. They just pick one day. Then they come up with all kinds of stories. And some of your car says, oh, here comes the wise man. And then they show on your card a little baby in a manger, and the wise man came. But if you read your Bible, the wise man didn't even come until 2 years later. So what I'm trying to suggest to you is that don't get into all this drama. In all of your getting, get understanding. Let's celebrate Jesus coming. Because he is the light of the world. It's okay if you want to light your house, that's fine with me. If you want to get some card, fine. If you want to bless somebody with giving, you ought to be giving all year anyway. So that there's nothing wrong. If that's a part of the Western culture, it makes everybody happy. Hallelujah. We want more people to be happy anyhow. But in the midst of your celebration, don't forget that Jesus came to this world of darkness because he is the light of the world. Now, that's what happened in the life of that man who was born blind all of his life. I want to call your attention to a few things about this man. And I'm hoping that if you have any challenge, any issue, rather than get caught in the theatrics of the season, seize this moment and allow Jesus to bless you, to heal you, to prosper you, to open doors for you, just like he did for this man in this passage. The first thing I notice about the man is his condition. Please notice that he was not only blind, he was born that way. That means he never saw the nothing before. He never saw the sunrise. He never saw the face of his daddy or his mama. He never knew how a tree looked like. He never saw any flower bloom in his life. He was completely miserable to the point that he had to be begging. And you'd be amazed how many people in our community are in beggar situation. Ladies and gentlemen, he had to depend on others to live. He was in survival mode. That really bothers me. So rather than get caught in the theatrics, do an inventory of your own life. And if you need heaven to help you today, it may well be this season of Christmas is divine appointment for you. Another thing I notice about this man is that he did not expect anything. He was just there begging. He did not ask Jesus for anything. He did not call out to Jesus. And I'm concerned today that so many of us are in that situation. We go day by day. We watch TV, reality shows. We go to work, but we never really expect anything from God. Most people that Jesus helped in the Bible, typically they cried out. You remember the 10 lepers, for example. They cried out. You remember blind Bartimaeus. He cried out. You remember the woman with the issue of blood. She pressed her way. These people have expectations from God. You remember the man called the centurion. He made a trip to Jesus. You remember the gentleman called Jairus. I mean, over and over again in the word of God, there are people who needed something and they pressed their way to God. My concern for our community is that many of us need God, but we don't even know it. Many of us live as if we don't need God. And when you don't expect nothing, guess what you get? You get nothing. The reason why many people wake up Sunday morning and don't even remember to go to the house of God is because they expect nothing from God. The reason why many of us don't get breakthrough, even though we're in the church, is that we came to church, but we have no expectation. We are not hungry. We are not thirsty. We are not desperate for the presence of the Holy Spirit. What am I trying to tell you in case you miss it? My first point to you, if you are in any bad condition this morning, Christmas is not just about jingle bells. Jesus came to light up your world. The second point I'm making is that don't just go through life expecting nothing. In fact, let me help those of you sisters in the house. I am troubled when you have a boyfriend and you have no expectation of him. Some of you, out of your ignorance, you will tell the man, I don't need nothing from you. Yes, you do. You may think you need nothing. Your children need that man. I don't care how well to do you are. We need one another. Amen, somebody. Amen. Go home and tell your baby, I need me some money. Put an exclamation mark. Baby, get me another car. Don't be so full of yourself that you miss out on blessings. If you ask for nothing, the only reason why that man is hanging around you is because he wants something from you. And all the brothers say amen. Come on, say it again, amen. Ain't no shame in our game. So don't become so cute that you become so ignorant. All of us, yes, it's okay to be independent. But ain't nothing wrong to be interdependent. I need you. You need me. Amen, somebody. Don't come to the house of God and say, Pastor, just preaching to them, not me. Everybody is looking at your life and they see the need but you. Are you all still here? Please permit me to also mention, notice the location where this man was found. Even though he was ignorant, he didn't call for Jesus, he didn't ask Jesus for anything. But the grace of God located him where the miracle is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, your location is very important. I wish some of you were here many years ago. How much we fought because the church didn't really want to come to this location. A little church history to help some of you. They were at ease in Zion. They were happy where they were. And their game plan was going to cut the side of the building and move the. They said, Pastor, yes, we're growing. Yes, we need more space. We're just going to cut the side of the building and move the church this way and cut the other side and move that way. Then after a while, yeah, I was a rookie. I didn't know. I didn't have as much experience. Thank you, Pastor, for helping. I didn't really know how to talk that way. I told them, I said, where you are located is nobody can find you. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Unfortunately, many people got offended. But we had to push our way to get to this location. I don't say this out of pride. There is no single church in Central Louisiana with a better location than this church. Location, location, location. Hear me, every one of you business people, I don't care how good your product is. I don't care how good your service is. Show me where you're located and I'll tell you what your future looks like. The reason why many of us are not receiving, even though we profess to be Christian, we're in the wrong location. Here is somebody who needs healing from God, but you're sitting in a church that there has been no record healing in 20 years. Here you are. You say, I want God to bless me. And then you find yourself in a dead church. Hey, don't turn me off. Where you are located matters. How are you going to be in a place where you believe in God for great move of God and the baptismal pool has never been used one time a whole year? And all you want to talk about is my grandma belonged to this church. Oh, the five pews at the back, my mama buddy, you are in a hey! Your location matters. God can pitch the ball to you all day, all night in baseball. But if you're not positioned to catch that ball, heaven can be pitching all day and pitching the ball and pitching the ball. You will never get the ball that is pitched that way while you're located that way. Somebody shout position. He didn't see Jesus. He was too blind to see. I'm just telling a story this morning. He was too blind to see, but Jesus saw him. I can preach that all day. You may be dumb. So dumb that you don't even notice God around you. But oh, what a blessing. Just to know that God knows about you. He sees you. Tell somebody, God sees me. You may be living at home, believe it or not, you may be eating with people every day, sleeping in the same bed, and they don't see you. Oh, but oh, what a blessing. Just to know God sees you. God knows about your situation. Some of you, you've been married since the day of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you never see the person you claim to be married to. Jesus saw him. He sees your hurt. He sees your pain. He sees even when nobody noticed you. Even when nobody tried to say thank you for what you are doing. It's good to know that Jesus sees what you're doing. Now, for this man, it may be a blessing that he didn't see Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus seeing him, not him seeing Jesus. You know why it may have been a blessing that he don't see Jesus? Because the Bible said the way Jesus healed him was to spit on the ground. Spit on the ground. Make some mud. And then put it on his face. Can you imagine if he was watching all that? He may feel insulted like many of us. Many of us, the only reason why you're not blessed today is because you're so full of yourself. You come to church, the preacher says something, and you get offended. I ain't coming here no more. Go home! How are you going to offend me when every day people in the community are thanking, say thank you for your ministry? On social media alone, I have thousands of people, thousands, not hundreds, thousands of people, locally, nationally, internationally. You think I'm going to be worried about you getting an attitude? You better get in the line. Anywhere you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Well, they say something about me. Pastor ain't coming to church no more. That sister in the choir. You going to allow a sister to get in the way of your blessing? Come on now. Really? Position yourself. We need to learn to position ourselves. So Jesus did for him what he couldn't see. Please take note. Typically, most Christians will praise God for what he has done. We praise God for what we can see. But we need to learn to praise God when God did for us things that we couldn't see. Are you all still here this morning? Say, for example, you couldn't see who wanted to break into your house last night. But Jesus Christ, I heard the choir say all day, all night, angels were watching over you. You don't always see a driver on the highway that was going to hit you head on. But somehow, somewhere, God, are you still here? That is why Job, in his own experience, says, God knows the way I've come. And when he has tried me, I will come forth. So there are many things that you don't know is going on in your life, but God knows. He knows my good time. He knows when I'm in bad time. He knows my uprising. He knows about my downset. He knows when I'm happy. God knows when I'm sad. He knows what is going on in my life. He knows what is going on in my job. He knows what's going on in my marriage. He knows what's going on with my children. Somebody shout, he knows. That's why when you see me shouting, that's why when you see me dancing, that's what I'm shouting about. I'm shouting about the hand of witches that's trying to kill me, but God snatched me. I'm shouting about the hand of warlords that's trying to destroy me, but God, he knows. Sometimes I shout. Every now and then, I'm so dumb to know where I'm going, but the Holy Spirit will say, not that way. God knows. Tell somebody, God knows. David was so sure about what I'm talking about. That's why he said, I will praise the Lord at all times. Amen. He knows. That's why one songwriter said, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. See, one verse of that scripture says, through many dangers, toys and snares, I have already come. Who am I speaking to this morning? He said, it was grace that brought me thus far. And that same grace, somebody shout grace. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't pay for it, but Jesus came to this world. Somebody shout grace. His grace woke you up this morning. His grace started you on your way. His grace made a way for you. Somebody shout grace. You know what I'm trying to tell you? God knows how to bless you even when you don't even know what is going on. That's why David said he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Please take note again, I told you how he healed that man. Spit on the ground, make a wet clay, and paint his face. Then he told the man, go and wash. I'm trying to make another point because Jesus don't have to do any of that. Jesus could just tell him, you're healed. Eyes be open. Pam. But why did Jesus tell him to go and wash? I want you to know that God many times wants you to participate in your own deliverance. To everyone that may be going through today, it's not because God don't want to heal you. It's not because God don't want to make a way. But God is waiting on you to do something for yourself. Tell your neighbor, do something. God wants you to participate in your own healing. I believe with all my heart that the Lord wants to bless someone today. He wants to bless someone with a new job. But you got to go find the job. Amen, somebody. Here you are, you're believing God for a husband, but you never leave the house. Look at somebody and say, do something. God wants to send some blessings to many of us today, but we got to be ready to receive it. Israel is a classic example of that. God brought them out of Egypt. He's taking them to their promised land. And somebody says just a 40-day journey. Another said it don't take no more than 11 days. But the truth is that it took them 40 years. Why? Because although it brought them out of Egypt, now it had to spend 40 years to get Egypt out of their mind. Many people are not blessed today because they can't even see themselves blessed. The biggest problem in our community today is not that God don't want to bless us. We are already located in the best spot. I talk about position. I talk about location. If the truth be told, the best location in the whole state is right here. Somebody better think. I didn't come to this neighborhood just to play games. This is the best location in the whole state, better than New Orleans, better than Shreveport, better than Baton Rouge. Why is it that we're not, right? That's right, son. We're in the middle. The North have to go through us. The South have to go through us. Could it be that our mindset, could it be we need to work on working together in unity? Yes, I'm trying to help somebody. I will preach. How can we make progress if we cannot get together? Businesses ought to be working together. Politicians ought to be, hey, don't turn me up. Politicians ought to be working together. Churches ought to be working together. Preachers, yes, I said it. Mindset. God had to take all the mess they acquired in Egypt. He had to get it off their mind. All the stinking thinking. And it took 40 years. People hating on each other and everybody's broke. Why will you hate me when we're all struggling? Crab mentality. Amen, somebody. You'll be surprised how many of you are still here holding on to stuff that happened years and years ago. Unforgiveness. You'll be surprised how many people are still holding on to some nasty mess. Young people don't want to hear all that stuff. They want to grow in a community where they can prosper, where they can make things happen for their future. But when they see you fighting with one another, when they see you bucking heads all the time, they hang around until they finish high school, they raise their virtue finger, and they're gone, never to return. Somebody needs to preach this gospel. Right in the back pocket, brother. Yes, sir. Folks still have malice. Folks still have jealousy, envy. How are you going to be envy over somebody that just bought a two-bedroom house? Two-bedroom. God would not set any of us up for blessing with a messy attitude. Look at this man's attitude. They tried, I got to hurry up. They tried to put him out of the church. But he didn't get offended. That's the attitude you need to be healed. That's the attitude you need to be blessed. Even his parents were not that good. His parents were like many of us in the church. They asked the parents, how did your son got healed? But the parents, if you really read your Bible, the reason why the parents didn't say anything is because they don't want to get in trouble. They say, well, he's a grown man. Oh, I'm so glad that I'm a grown man. I can speak for my own self. I know how he healed me. I know how he saved me. I'm so glad they won't speak for me. I speak for my own self. The man said, the man called Jesus. He said, I don't know if he's a good man. I don't know if he's a bad man. But all I know, somebody shout, all I know. One day I was blind. But right now, I see. You know, in my kind, in my line of job, lawyering, all a witness can see is what he knows. You talk to any of these lawyers in the house, they'll tell you. All a witness is expected to see is what you know. But if you don't know nothing, you can't say nothing. But if you know something about Jesus, then you ought to testify. Is there anybody here that know that he is a good God? I was blind, but now I see. I was on my way to hell, but God saved my soul. He put a song in my mouth. Hallelujah. All I know. One day I was sick, but God healed me. I don't know much about Greek or Hebrew. I may not be able to speak good English, but all I know, Jesus loved me. These I know, for the Bible tells me so. They kicked him out of church. They said, no, you don't belong here. And the Bible said he went and followed Jesus. If you want God to bless you this morning, you know what you need to do? Do like this man. He went, he followed Jesus, and then he was praising God, giving God the glory. Many of you, you disqualify yourself for the next blessing. Because you haven't praised God for the past blessing. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor it's time to praise God. Ask him, has he done anything for you? Then you ought to give God the glory. Praise him for all his goodness. Praise him for all his mercy. For the healing in your life. Praise him when things are good. Praise him when things are bad. Praise him when you get up in the morning. Praise him when you go to sleep at night. Praise him when you got some money. Praise him when you ain't got no money. Praise him when your health is good. Praise him when there's sickness in your body. Praise him when you have some friend in your life. Praise him when you ain't got no friend. Praise him
As God has been good to you, can I get a witness in the house? Praise Him for all His goodness. I'm a witness, and all I can do is testify about what the Lord has done for me. I know God is a healer. I know He is a waymaker. I know He's a shelter in time of storm. Is there anybody here that God will make a way? Do you know that God will heal your body? I know He's been there here for the night. Somebody shout joy. Somebody give Him say joy, joy, joy. Early in the morning, joy. And in the midnight hour, joy. Somebody shout joy. He'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemy. He'll heal you with His word. Remember that God is the light of the world. How do I know? He is Adam's redeemer. He is Abel's vindicator. Somebody here this morning needs to be vindicated. Don't worry about what they say to you. Don't worry about what they say about you. God is Abel's vindicator. He's Abraham's sacrifice. Amen. He's Noah's ark. Am I right about it? I know He's Moses' burning bush. I know He's Joshua's Jericho. I know He's Gideon's fleece. I know He's Samson's jawbone. I know He's David's harp. Do you know Him this morning? I know. Tell somebody, say, I know. Say like you mean it, say, I know. He is Solomon's wisdom. I know. Of the world. In Matthew, they call Him the King of Kings. In Luke, they call Him the Great Physician. In Mark, they call Him Sovereign Servant. In John, they call Him the Word made flesh. In Acts, they call Him the Holy Ghost in the midst of the church. What am I trying to tell you? I don't know what you call Him. But I call Him doctor in my sick room. I call Him lawyer in my courtroom. I call Him way out of nowhere. I came with nothing. And He made an example out of me. I don't know who I've been preaching to. But as we celebrate His coming, my children, they struggle trying to find what are we going to get Him. They say, Daddy, you had everything.
Then I have to remind them, not only do I have all I need, Jesus is the source of everything you see around you. I want to introduce that Jesus to somebody today. Not only will he save you, he will make a way. Somebody's here. Christmas time is a time of depression. It's supposed to be a time of joy. Supposed to be a time of celebration. But the devil wants to keep you in depression. But I stop by to tell you, the Lord will make a way. Whatever is missing, like a sheep that tossed and driven by the binding and received the storm of life and redeemed and the beautiful. Neighbor again, say, do you know him? Now tell your neighbor, you don't know, like I know, what the Lord has done for me. Say with confidence, say, neighbor, you don't know, like I know, what the Lord has done for me. Say, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. The best is yet to come. In Jesus' name. I want you to raise your hand towards heaven. I want to pray with you. Somebody say, well, Pastor, I'm happy for all the saints. But I need God to help me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you loved us so much. You sent your only begotten Son. Even sometimes we don't see what you're doing, but you keep on blessing us.
thank you for so many times that you made a way. Thank you for so many times you prevent things from happening. Thank you for protecting us even against the player haters of life. Thank you that what they meant for evil, you turn it around for our good. Thank you for watching over our children. Thank you for healing our body. Things that could have killed us. Things that almost took our life. But Lord, in your goodness and mercy, you made a way. We just want to thank you. We thank you for your birth. We thank you for your death. We thank you for your burial. We thank you for your resurrection. We don't want to be like the 10 lepers that were healed and only one came back to say thank you. Wow, people are just having a good time out there in the world. We just want to take time to say thank you. You don't have to do it, but you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten son. We receive you by faith this morning. Come into our life. Dwell in our home. Make us your living sacrifice. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. The church say, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord God a clap of. I'm going to ask that you sit down. I'm going to invite all the ministers and the deacons and our deaconesses to lead us as we celebrate the Holy Communion. We just want to thank God for another day of celebration. Praying and believing God